The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Dr. Dave's devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but there's a time to laugh and we can use it now. The review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Why not? Aha. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. I don't know why you're asking. We have no idea what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know why you're asking. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. Oh, my goodness. How could you not care? Because for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. What can our prayer warriors, people that listen to this show, who pray very diligently, loving on one another, caring for one another, blessing one another, what can our prayer warriors pray for you about? That is the opportunity you have to reach out to us and have people praying alongside of you. Look, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We would find that to be sad. All you got to do is, number one, give us a call. Now, that phone number, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the week with great faith and expectation. That is totally awesome, isn't it? It's awesome, huh?
Thank you, David. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Could be a Monday fun day. We'll see how it all breaks down. Here's the second way you can get in charge with, in touch with us. Guess what? I have a phone again. Yay.
So you got, did you get that one fixed or did you have to get a new one?
I had to get a new one.
Okay.
You know what I did the entire vacation time? I need that app. I need that app. I got to sign in here. I need that app.
Like that's like the worst thing when you get a new phone.
Yeah, and
your other one broke, so you can't just transfer everything over quickly.
Well, here's the thing: I was able to transfer some, which is more almost weirder because then I had to go, what didn't it transfer? And then that's where I had to go through the whole process. But here it is: if you don't want to call us, which is sad because it hurts our feelings, but it's okay. You can still text us. Yep, that's right. Now, it moves a little slower. It's still catching up to speed, but I will get there to you. 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Good. I get to do the non-professional voice for the first time in almost a week. Get ready.
214-210-8483.
There you go. That's a way to get in touch with us. Plus, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at hemustincrease.org. I do have my Chromebook in front of me. It is working, as far as I know, until the hinges fall off. We'll just keep believing it'll work throughout the entire show. So that's three ways to get in touch with us. You can call us. You can simply text us. You can email us. It could be for a prayer request. It could be for a praise report. It could be for Bible trivia, which we'll do in a little bit. Not quite yet, but I'm going to warn you. Warn you. I came across another trivia book. See, and for me, I happen to think that's fun. I have 5 trivia books, somewhere about 28,000 trivia questions that I can pull from. Listen to this. This one, though, does a little bit more of my style in some of its answers. So we will see how it pans out through the show today. Let me say that. By the way, thank you, everybody, for praying for Easton. Easton is home from the hospital, so I just want to thank everybody for bringing it before the Lord in prayer. Very cool of all of you to pray for me and my family. It is greatly appreciated. So right now in San Diego, it's 11:37 a.m., and in Dallas, it is 1:37 p.m., and in both places, it's just simply this way. Your traffic report is super easy. Ready? There is traffic. In case you thought traffic had just disappeared, you'd be wrong, okay? Just making sure you know that. We're going to get into the Word, then we'll get into various other things. We are going to do Jake's Take in the second 60-minute segs. Just be ready, because anything can happen at any time, because I have no idea what's going on. Is that just a simple way to say it? Okay.
Yep, pretty much.
That's pretty much how it goes, isn't it? Right? Yeah. Do you have a pretty decent Thanksgiving, right? Not too bad for you?
Yeah, I had a good Thanksgiving.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Very, very glad to hear that. And you're doing a great job, so I want you to know how much we appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Because we are about the Word, and some people are like, well, I like the entertainment part. Me too. I like the teaching part. Me too. I like the goofy part. Me too. If I didn't like it, I probably wouldn't do it, just to let you know ahead of time. But we need to look at this part, because this is a great thing coming off Thanksgiving. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. Look at what Paul tells Titus. He says, for we ourselves, I'll back it up to verse 1 so you can follow it. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, and to be peaceable, gentle, and showing all humility towards all men. Verse 3, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Titus 3:3 comes out, boy, right out and punching right away, reminds us that we were once like those who don't believe. Before you became a Christian, you were like them too. Foolish, disobedient, deceived. We thought that pleasures were the answer. And we also justified our hatred for one another. See, people who, before they become Christians, think that their satisfaction and happiness in all of life, including relationships, is all based on their feelings. Let me explain something to you about your feelings. It is a great place for Satan to take advantage of you. Should Christians deny their feelings? Absolutely not. Should Christians make their entire life go forward by their feelings? Absolutely not. The truth is what directs the train of a Christian. And so when people are like, oh, well, I just liked it because it feels good, yeah. And then you say, well, if it feels good, so somebody who's a mass murderer but it feels good, is that okay for them? Well, no, obviously not. But then again, you're using that exact same principle. So that's not how things operate. Here's what Paul is saying to Titus. You don't want to be in a position where you have forgotten about those people who are never saved and never been saved, because you and I were like that. We thought the pleasures were the answer. We justified our hatred and disgust of one another. It's crucial for Christians to remember that before we became followers of Christ, listen to this line, We were the very mess that we now see in other people. Dave, this is like just a little bit after Thanksgiving. Can't you give us a breathing room? It's the Word of God. We know this breathing room is what it says. And it's really critical that us as Christians understand the very thing we see people doing that kind of make us go, bruh, is something we used to do. And after some time in the faith, we have a minor tendency to forget that at one point we were the ones that needed salvation. And so it shouldn't surprise us that much that the people that we do engage with, just think about Thanksgiving, that it is often these people we engage with are like we used to be. But that yet they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So don't that be such a surprise, right? Oh, that's good advice. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, God, for sharing that in your word and giving us that insight. Verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So let's back that up just a little bit so you can catch this. Don't want to miss this. This is a huge point. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, how did the kindness and love of God appear towards mankind? In its finest form, through the life of Jesus Christ, the kindness and the love of God came. And the kindness and the love of God, and it's important to get this, these are gifts that God has granted us. Nobody earns the kindness of God. Nobody earns the love of God. They are granted to us because God is kind and full of love. And I do want to make a quick reference for you to understand that there's a lot of people, you know, understand that when this makes this reference to God, our Savior, of course, Jesus is our Savior. Also, God the Son is our Savior. God the Father is our Savior. And God the Spirit is our Savior. You just got to study. You'll find out it's 3-in-1, 1-in-3. Just leave it there and stop trying to tell God how he fits in your box. That would be a little bit easier. But what he's saying is, look, when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward mankind appeared, when that came, it changed everything. It changed our engagement. We entered into a new covenant, which is why we have a old covenant and a new covenant, an Old Testament and a New Testament, an old agreement and a new agreement. Yes, I know that's dumbing down the word, but sometimes I need to dumb it down so I can get it. And so in this new process that we're operating with in the Lord, it is based on his kindness and it's based on his love. His kindness is so far past me, I can do 10 million great things and not deserve the kindness of God. You say, well, how's that possible? Because I know all the 10 million things I did that weren't great, including the thoughts, the words, and the actions. And you do too. And that's why we love his kindness. It exceeds us. His kindness exceeds everything that we are. His goodness, his love, his compassion, his commitment, his faithfulness. Never does he abandon us. Even when we abandon him, he is faithful still. I mean, it's just like, wow. That is what we get into with the Lord. Now, how cool is that? Now, take a deep breath because we're going to try something we haven't done. It's a new book. A new trivia book. Get yourself ready. Get excited. Here we go. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. To what was Jesus referring? Was he referring to a butterfly, a lily, or a purple-throated, yellow-bellied sapsucker? Was he referring to a butterfly, a lily, or a purple-throated, yellow-bellied sapsucker? If
Say that three times in a row. That's a long answer.
You see why I like this trivia book already? Because it's like, oh, that's, I love that right there. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can call us. It won't hurt you. We don't think so. Anyway, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send us an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Okay, here's the question. Solomon, in all his glory, was not in all his glory. I guess I told you that story. I'll tell it again later on. Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. To whom was Jesus referring? A butterfly, a lily, or a purple-throated, yellow-bellied sapsucker? There you go. Okay, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi,
how'd your Thanksgiving go?
It was pretty good. It was not too bad. How you doing? I was wondering about you and praying for you and hoping you were doing well. Did you have a decent Thanksgiving?
It was quiet. That's here by myself.
You see, but let me say this, Gary, and I'm going to be really honest about this. I like the quiet Thanksgivings. I know it's terrible.
That.
Yeah, I like the shh, you know, little less, you know, kvetch and little less bouncing up and down, a little softer, a little more turkey, a little more quiet, a little more let me eat in peace kind of thing going on. So anyway, that's all right. And I did wonder how you were doing and was praying for you, and you're just a blessing, and I just want you to know that. And I was going to reach out to you.
Okay, well, thank you.
You got it, brother. All right, here you go. I don't feel like you're going to get this wrong, but I got to set it up, as you know. Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. To what was Jesus referring? A butterfly, a lily, or a purple-throated, yellow-bellied sapsucker?
A lily.
That is correct, Amundo! In all of the glory that Solomon had, and it was quite the glory, and it was quite the kingdom, since rocks were equivalent to silver. I mean, that's just like, what? I mean, you just think about that. He didn't even look as good as which God creates within the framework of nature. It's like, wow, that is wild stuff. So can I pray for you, my brother?
Okay, all right.
All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up our precious brother, Gary. We ask you in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing power into his body. Not a little, a lot. Not just a teeny bit, a full amount. Jesus, you made it clear in Luke chapter 5, verse 13, you have compassion on people. And we ask you to have compassion on our brother and bring healing power into his body. Let him find rejuvenation and restoration, full and total and complete. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I've been praying for all of you, and I will continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother, and thank you for asking about Thanksgiving. I appreciate you.
God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, so that was the first, by the way, trivia question out of this new book, so I want to know, what do you think? Not bad. It's kind of an interesting it's kind of an interesting way that it approaches it, I think, a little bit. I like it. Anyway, no, what do you think?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what the last answer was. It was such a tongue twister.
Okay, let's go back to the text. That's right, everybody. Relax. Take a deep breath. Just think. 1 minute from now, he could be back. It will be over. Da-da-da. Oh, praise the Lord. All right, here we go. Let's go back to it. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Now listen to what it says in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Okay, now just stop. Theologically, I know there's people that are going to hold on because there's a few other things I have a question about. But it's good. That's okay to ask questions. There's nothing wrong with that. But you find out in this text, without any doubt, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. And what you know in Isaiah 64:6 is that our righteousness is as filthy rags before the eyes of God. And it's a great example. Was that college professor? I still think he gave one of the better examples. It's like God's life is a completely white, perfect, white, like, cloth. And he can only engage with others who have a perfectly white cloth like him. And as soon as we sin, we drop a red stain on that cloth. You can try and scrub it out. You can say it was never there. You can bleach it. You can do all that stuff. But that stain is always a part of that cloth, which is why you need a new cloth. That's the whole premise there. But what he's saying is it's not by works of righteousness. It's not that you don't do things that are right. Of course you do. It's not that you don't make the right decisions. Of course you do. When you're faced with a decision between doing what's right and doing what's wrong, doing what's based on your pleasure or doing what's right based on the kingdom of God, you know what choice you have to make, and to not make it is sin. But it's not by those righteous works that we're going to get saved. It's not by those righteous works that we are saved. It's according to his mercy that he saved us. Now, right there, theologically, in soteriology, which is the study of salvation, and in hamartiology, which is the study of sin, you're thinking, yes, but isn't it by grace? Yes. But that says by mercy? Yes. And it's by love? Yes. And it's by kindness? Yes. And those are all correct. Instead of, the church is really good at trying to split things apart. It's like, are you kidding? It's grace and mercy and love and kindness and about 9 trillion other things that come from the character of God. But here we get this text, and it's taking the time to let you know, look, you're not getting saved by the things you've done. It's according to God's mercy. What is mercy? The better definition for me, understanding mercy, is understanding that when grace is something you receive you can't earn, okay, mercy is not getting something you do deserve, like judgment. You deserve judgment. Not getting it is mercy. That's the other side of grace. And that saves you. Not only has it saved you, it is saving you, and it will save you. It's like, it's so great. See, the love and the kindness of God were granted not according to our righteousness. It specifically states our Christian faith is not based on righteous deeds. It doesn't start because of them. It doesn't continue because of them. And it won't end because of them. Salvation is a process which God created and God solidifies. Oh, I love that stuff because it's just like, okay. Whew. I'm really glad, and I'll tell you why. Because when things depend on me, I might be good to get the dishes put away, but that's about all. You see what I'm saying? It's like that. And then it drops off pretty fast. But listen to this, the greatness and the kindness and the goodness and the mercy and the love of God. So it's not by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy he saves us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is a contention I have with some theologians that are like me that think this stuff is really important when it's not quite as important as we say. So what people will say is, well, actually, regeneration has to go before justification. I believe that's incorrect. I know. I don't not fellowship with anybody anywhere on the planet because they think that. They think, well, it's got to be called by the Holy Spirit or it can never happen, and you can never respond to the justification. See, I don't think the Holy Spirit can be poured out without the justification first in place, so it's just an argument of timing and whatever the case may be. This is one of the passages that I would use for that. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So here's a really important element. The regeneration and the renewing are not one time alone, especially the renewing word. The renewing word's perfect present tense Greek. It means continual. And we are continually finding renewing, and we need to continually find renewing, because if you're like me at all, you know, while there have been sailing, phenomenal, flying through the air, fantastic moments, like you're surfing on the waves, there have been other times in your Christian walk, like you're in the cave and the rocks on top of you keep falling and hitting you on the head and shoulder, and you're just like going, I need some help. Well, that's part of that renewing of the Holy Spirit, and it's about time. And you cannot, by the way, get a better Trinity theology breakdown than this text where it talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. It's almost impossible that he's poured out, the Holy Spirit is poured out on us through Jesus Christ, who's our Savior, and we need that in order to keep being renewed and keep being regenerated. I'll just ask you a really question. Could you use a refreshing? That's what it's talking about. Can you need some regeneration? I will say to people from time to time, do you need a reset? I mean, I know I do all the time. I don't even care. I need it all the time. I need it every day. I need a reset in God, in his kingdom, in my mind, in my heart, in my connection with him, in my appreciation for Jesus Christ, and in my sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. I need one every single day. That's why I start with devotions. I need it so bad. I don't think I can function without it. And then it closes by saying, having been justified by his grace. So now we're saved by his mercy. We're justified by his grace. And then you get into the little elements there. And I'm not going to do that now. We'll do that the next time we pick it up. But I just want you to see how incredible the kindness and grace and goodness of God are. Now, if you're in San Diego, don't go anywhere. Hang out with us. Go to HeMustIncrease.org. Listen to the rest of the show. If you're in Dallas, just keep hanging out. We got so much to do. Take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month, and I even wrote it down in my little journal. How I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes. I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses. And he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter. Even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.